This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
California Chrome in front. It's Alchemy in Dubai. Chrome turns to gold. California Chrome wins the Dubai World Cup.
16th to go, an American Pharoah and firing line, and it's American Pharoah pulling away late. American Pharoah rules the Derby!
Presented by Adina Springs, Airdrie Stud, Castleton Lions, Claiborne Farm, Coolmore, Daily Racing Form, Darley, DerbyBox.com, Double Diamond Farm, FarmPaint.com, Flair Equine Nasal Strips, Gainesway, Gulfstream Park, Jimmy John's, Kentucky Bank, Kentucky Downs, the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, Kirkwood Stables, Lane's End, the Lexus Store of Lexington, Maryland Thoroughbred, Mill Ridge, the New York Thoroughbred Breeding and Development Fund, Nicholson Insurance, Owner View, Pin Oak Stud, RacehorseDraft.com, Ramsey Farm, Santa Anita, Spendthrift Farm, Sunrise Stallions, Tony's of Lexington, the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program, Washington Hay, and Woodbine Entertainment.
The outside forever mowing dazzling gem. Motom got stopped hard. It's Gun Runner. Gun Runner for Ron Giroux. Clear to the finish in the Louisiana Derby.
There will be a fourth jewel in the crown. He's an everlasting credit to the sport. American Pharoah has belted a grand slam in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Another five-star edition of the program coming your way this morning as we get you set for a huge afternoon of racing coast to coast as we edge closer to the Kentucky Derby. Now just 28 days, 10 minutes, no, 10 hours, and 31 minutes away.
Can't wait.
You sound thrilled.
I am.
Are you awake?
No, definitely not.
You're a morning. If you're the one who's not awake, we're really in trouble because you're a morning person.
Well, I am a morning person. I've been awake for quite a while, actually. But, yeah, not exactly 100% today.
Well, he's the sleepy pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, Pope Jude, however you want to refer to him. I'm Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch. We welcome everybody joining us throughout North America on Sirius XM Channel 93 and everyone tuning in on our affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, Arkansas, and across the country. And, of course, those listeners in our international HRN nation worldwide at horseracingradio.net.
163 countries.
How about that?
Impressive.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, who would have thought?
What is wrong with people? How about this day of racing, huh? Super Saturday. Blockbuster day.
Yes, there's quite a bit going on. The card at Keeneland is outstanding. The races at Santa Anita should be nice, although the weather's going to be lousy. Actually, the weather's going to be lousy pretty much everywhere. Aqueduct, too.
So, it's going to be lousy in Augusta for the Masters.
Well, it's already lousy.
Yeah,
those guys yesterday, they folded like lawn chairs.
I was all set to substitute my Go Steelers at the end of the program for Go Phil, as I typically do during majors.
He needs all the help he can get.
Yeah, because he's on a flight back home to San Diego. Brutal. Man,
maybe he can practice putting down the aisle.
Yeah. I actually, here's what I did yesterday. I'm watching the Masters, and you know I'm a huge Phil Mickelson fan. And all I want him to do is make the cut because he was minus one. He went from minus one, which was squarely in contention, played the back nine, and now all of a sudden he's sitting at plus eight, makes a birdie. Now he's got one more hole to play. He's at plus seven. The cut is plus six. So I decided, okay, I need to really cheer him on at this point. So there's a commercial break right before. I go out to the kitchen. I grab some of Sir David Seal's four-square rum. I pour it into my glass, a little bit of diet with it, and I sit back down and I start sipping on the rum and cheering on Phil Mickelson on the 18th.
And what happens?
Par. Adios, amigo.
Don't say goodbye, say hasta la vista.
All right, well, in terms of the racing around the country today, because we mentioned it is a huge, huge day. Here at Keeneland, we're in Lexington, of course, and what a difference, by the way, a week and about 1,000 miles makes, JT. Last week, we're talking about temperatures in the low 80s at Gulfstream Park. Today, temperatures in the low 40s, some wind, maybe a little bit of snow flurries, a little bit of sleet here and there. Going to be a little nasty this morning, going to get better as we move throughout the afternoon, but still going to be a chilly day at Keeneland.
It's not going to get Aventura better, I can tell you that.
No.
I think that's one of the reasons I'm not at my usual self. It's been a very difficult week for me going from, you know, the beautiful tropics to this, whatever you want to call it. Can't say on the air.
A little chilly. It was cold out there yesterday. Going to be even colder today for Bluegrass Stakes Day. Five graded stakes offering $2.25 million in purses at Keeneland today. You have a couple of grade ones. You have the Bluegrass for the boys. You have the Ashland for the three-year-old fillies, Catherine Sophia. She's the big name in there. Could be, in a lot of people's opinion, the one filly that could give Songbird a run for her money in the Kentucky Oaks. We'll see, but she has to get by the Ashland this afternoon. At Aqueduct, five graded stakes, the Wood Memorial, the big derby prep there, and the Santa Anita Derby, part of a four graded stake program on the West Coast. And by the way, you're going to hear all of that coverage coming up this afternoon, 4 o'clock Eastern time here on the network. For those tuning in on Sirius XM Satellite Radio, you'll have to join us on Sirius and XM Channel 83 for coverage of the Bluegrass, Wood Memorial, and the Santa Anita Derby, 4 o'clock Eastern today.
Yeah, that's good. 83, easy to remember.
Yeah, go from 93 where we are now over to 83.
Right, perfect.
How about this poll question for the day? And then we'll tell people what's coming up on the show.
Okay.
Which of the three major derby preps today, the Bluegrass, the Wood Memorial, or the Santa Anita Derby, is most likely to produce the Kentucky Derby winner? That's our poll question. Chauncey will get it up for us on our HRN Twitter page, at HRN on Twitter, and you can go vote. Which one? If you had to pick one, what do you think?
I would pick Santa Anita.
Yeah, me too. Me too. It's going to be interesting to see what our listeners come up with, but I would pick Santa Anita.
Oh, we don't want to influence anybody.
Well, I'm just saying what I would choose. It doesn't have to be what everybody else would choose.
Well, that's
usually
true.
When I go one way, you're supposed to go the opposite anyways, right?
Well, that's true. Yes.
Well, all right. How about historically? Historically, the Bluegrass has produced 23 Kentucky Derby winners. That's tied with the Champagne for most. The Wood Memorial has produced 20, and the Santa Anita Derby has produced 17. But as we know, the West Coast horses the past 3 years have been dominant. So keep that in mind when you're placing those votes.
So if you're looking at the past 3 years, it's 100%.
Yes. Well, now, in fairness, now American Pharoah, West Coast-based, but he campaigned in Arkansas last year. Remember, he won the Rebel and then the Arkansas Derby. So I still consider him a West Coast horse, but he came from Arkansas. So it was actually the Arkansas Derby that produced the winner last year.
I see. Well, that's always a question, isn't it? Everybody always wants to know, where are these horses from?
Yeah.
We had this situation when we were covering Dubai. Because anything that Sheikh Mohammed owns, or his brothers, or Godolphin, is considered a Dubai horse, right? Even though they may have raced in New York or Kentucky or whatever. They automatically take the home court flag when they go back home. And I guess, well, they should. But it kind of screws up all the records.
People asked that about Nyquist last week. Okay, what do you consider him? Well, he's a West Coast horse, right? He's based on the West Coast, but some of his biggest wins have come outside of California with the Breeders' Cup Juvenile and then the Florida Derby last week.
And you would think that the fact that this horse travels around and wins races would have a lot of people on his bandwagon.
I tweeted something out the next day, Sunday, last Sunday after the Florida Derby, and I just don't understand those people who continue to knock and doubt Nyquist. Now, you can have your own opinion. You can doubt him if you want to, and you can say, okay, he still doesn't have a mile and a quarter pedigree. He still doesn't have this. He still, but they said the same thing about Beholder.
Yeah.
And all she did was keep outrunning her pedigree. You can't measure what's inside.
Right.
And I don't want to hear anything about slow buyers and low buyers, all this kind of subjective numbers. Look, all the horse does is win, and he wins easily. Well, until he gets beat, how do you knock him?
Yeah, I don't know. Somebody was posting in the last 24 hours about his last quarter, the fastest last quarter run in the Florida Derby, better than Barbaro, better than Big Brown, better than everybody that's anybody, you know. I mean, if you were there, if you saw the race, you'd
who do
have
you like
to
better? Mohamed? Who he just drubbed, right? Who do you like better?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't figure the public out because, you know, everybody is on the bandwagon until they get beat. Then they jump off, like all the Mohamed fans.
Yeah.
And then you got a horse that just beats up on everybody he runs against, runs races that nobody has ever seen the likes of before. For instance, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, where he looked like he had no chance at any point.
And everybody
of the race.
Doubted him going into that race. Right. I just don't understand
it's insane,
the negativity
really.
Surrounding this horse and the lack of support for a horse. Now, he might not win 5 weeks from today. He might get beat in the Kentucky Derby, but there's a lot of really good horses who get beat in the Kentucky Derby.
Right.
He might get beat, and that's fine. But how you can knock him at this point, what else does a racehorse have to do? He's 7-for-7. He's a juvenile champion. He's won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. He's won the Florida Derby. What more does a racehorse have to do?
Nyquist for president.
I don't understand it. All right, anyways, participate in our poll question at HRN on Twitter. Which of the three Derby preps today, the Bluegrass, the Wood Memorial, or the Santa Anita Derby, most likely to produce the Kentucky Derby winner? All right, when we come back, we're going to hear from trainer Dale Romans, who is going to be a very busy man this afternoon and next week in the Arkansas Derby. Jenny Reese had a chance to catch up with Dale earlier this week. You'll hear that interview in its entirety here in just a couple of moments. John Siskos from Woodbine is going to join us at 8:30 Eastern. Of course, this is their opening day. They kick off their program with a tremendous card, as they always do. We'll hear from John. He'll tell us about that and what's ahead for the Woodbine meet. Our Right or Wrong segment around 8:45 Eastern. I'll be joined by the Big A, Anthony Stabile, for that segment. And Hall of Famer Mike Smith took the time to catch up with me yesterday. He, of course, rides Dancing Candy in the Santa Anita Derby and Songbird in the Santa Anita Oaks. You're going to hear that interview coming up 8:50 Eastern time as we take you down the road to the Kentucky Derby. Hour number two, John Gasper, Steve Castagnola, they'll be in studio with us to handicap all the big races coming up this afternoon. Very busy show. We start it all off next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Adina Spring Stallion Point of Entry, a 5-time Grade 1 winner viewed by many to be the heir to Dyna Former's global legacy, with first crop weanlings already realizing 6-figure sums at both Keeneland and Tattersall's in Newmarket. As a racehorse, Point of Entry was a truly great American turf horse, becoming the first since Theatrical to win the New York Turf Triple Crown, accomplishing the feat by a combined 9 lengths.
Point of Entry scores to win the Man of War by 4 lengths. A Hall of Fame ride it was. Point of Entry wins the Sword Dancer, and they're coming down to the finish. And Point of Entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a 5-race winning streak.
Point of Entry returned the following year to win the Grade 1 Gulfstream Park Turf and Grade 1 Manhattan, and also displayed the ability and the pedigree to perform at the highest level on dirt. Point of Entry, standing at Adina Springs in Paris, Kentucky. Visit adinastallions.com.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you, with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
A multiple graded stakes winner and earner of more than $1 million. AlterNation reeled off 4 consecutive stakes victories.
AlterNation, just far too much class for this field.
AlterNation running a powerful race here.
Cannot match stride with AlterNation.
And it's a photo AlterNation.
Great breeding from a family of successful sires. Grand appearance and brilliance on the racetrack. AlterNation at Pin Oak Stud.
Here with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, what would be a common misunderstanding between an insured and the insurance company?
Mike, one issue is a policy condition that requires notification when an insured animal becomes sick or injured.
Do you mean in life-threatening situations?
Not just then, but if a veterinarian is called in for treatment other than routine care. Take, for example, if a yearling colt gets his foreleg caught in a fence and tears the skin. The coat is stitched up and everything seems fine, but later the coat develops a systemic infection. Then there is a serious situation that the company knows nothing about.
So the company needs to know, even if it's not a life-threatening situation.
That's right. It's a policy condition. The company has a stake in the health of the animal because of the existing insurance policy. The company might want to have its own vet examine the horse. In most cases, though, just a call or email is all that is needed.
For all your equine and general insurance needs, including farm owners, liability, homeowners, auto, and more, contact Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe. Justin Phillip, a blue blood sprinter whose first crop have been highly acclaimed at the sales by the exciting young sire First Samurai and a half-brother to three other graded stakes winners, including Algorithms and Grade 1 winning Kentucky Derby prospect Greenpoint Crusader. Justin Phillip made 32 lifetime starts, 23 in graded stakes, with 9 buyer speed figures of 100 or better.
And Justin Phillip will do it! He was a monster in the mud!
And Justin Phillip will prove best in the Cal Fleet Sprint!
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by 2!
With first crop foals bringing up to $110,000 at the 2015 fall sales, Justin Phillip had a weanling sales average of more than $50,000, and he stands for a value price stud fee of only $5,000. Justin Phillip at Castleton Lions. Are you a believer? Visit CastletonLions.com.
Hey, it's Corey Lannery. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Midway on the far turn, Shake of Shakes has the lead by 2.5 lengths. Rated R Superstar travels in second. Exaggerator now tries to wake up and change lanes from third. Looks toward the inside, stays down toward the rail. Now finds room between horses. Exaggerator and Rated R Superstar both running by to the outside of Shake of Shakes. Brody's Cause is coming late from fourth. Exaggerator the leader. Rated R Superstar, then Brody's Cause on the outside. Final furlong of the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity. Brody's Cause a final try. Brody's Cause and Corey Lannery a tremendous run from deep in the pack to pull the upset in the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity.
Mike Penna, Jude Feld, back with you on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Kurt Becker with the call of last year's Breeders' Futurity at Keeneland. Brody's Cause getting the victory that afternoon. He's back to the very same venue where he pulled off that victory, Keeneland, for the Bluegrass Stakes later today. You'll hear that race 4 o'clock Eastern Time here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 83, and streaming worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. Going to hear from Dale Romans momentarily. Our Jenny Reese caught up with Dale a short time ago, and we'll have that interview coming up right after we remind you that this afternoon you can catch great thoroughbred action beginning at 1 p.m. Eastern as racing returns to Woodbine Racetrack. 2016 marks Woodbine's 60th year of thoroughbred racing, and the early pick four will be guaranteed at $100,000 on Saturdays and Sundays and $50,000 on Fridays. Plus, Woodbine will be offering 20-cent bet minimums on all Triactor, Superfecta, Pick 3, and Pick 4 pools. But that's not all. You can try your luck with the Thoroughbred Pick 5, and why not give the Jackpot High 5 a go as well? With huge potential for big pool payouts, it's all there at Woodbine, and you can visit WoodbineRacetrack.com to learn more. Great day of racing, Pontiff.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Woodbine opening, that's exciting. Our girl, Emma Jane Wilson, winning yesterday at Keeneland.
Good stuff.
That was great. Yeah.
Well, Dale Romans is going to be very busy today. Jenny Reese had a chance to sit down and talk with Dale earlier this week.
You're going to have two horses out of the capacity field of 14 in the Bluegrass, and Brody's Cause and Cherry Wine. Different circumstances. Brody's Cause comes in off a disappointing effort and his only start this year. Cherry Wine came off a big rallying fourth. How did you come to the decision of the Bluegrass?
Well, it's home, for one. That's the biggest thing. And if you look at the race, there's a lot of horses, but it's not that deep in quality and like years past. And we've done it before. We ran two horses in this race, and Patty Oprado knocked first dude out from being able to get into the Kentucky Derby. But it was the best thing for each horse. It's the best spot for each horse, and we have to look at them on an individual basis and what's best for the horse and the owner. And it looks like the Bluegrass is the best chance for Cherry Wine to go on and pick up some more points. We know that Brody likes the racetrack. He's already won a grade one and was third in the Breeders' Cup there. He probably has enough points to get in. So if something was to go wrong in the race, we could regroup and still get into the Derby. He's doing so well. We need Cherry Wine to step up and get a clean trip and at least pick up some points.
How tough is getting a clean trip when you have two horses that figure to be maybe having to pick their way through traffic or coming wide?
That's the problem with 14-horse field and the 20 horses in the Derby is getting a clean trip. But if you look at what Cherry Wine did in Arkansas in 14-horse field, coming out of 13-hole, he dropped back, he weaved through, he'd be... A lot of it's the horse mentality. Will he go through tight holes? And will is he big enough, strong enough to get bounced around? And is he quick enough to accelerate into places before they close up? And he showed me a lot in Arkansas Derby.
Talk about the talents of these two horses and what you like about them thinking ahead to May 7th.
Well, Brody's just a prototype Derby horse. I mean, he's a big, strong, talented horse, seasoned at two, multiple graded placed, the grade one winner in shown he can run with the best. There's, you know, he is the best prototype that I've had coming in. You know, I thought Metal Count was probably my best chance at that so far of what I've had. But this horse is just the perfect Derby horse. And Cherry Wine, I mean, he's a homebred that has done everything right. His father was third in the Derby for us. His mother, his granddam was third in the Oaks for us. And he's a horse, he's kind of a overachiever. I mean, he's a little Rudy in the barn. He's just works hard, tries hard, and gets better all the time.
Well, it took him five races to win, and then he was spectacular, and then came right back and won an allowance race in spectacular fashion. Was he just a horse that needed to figure out what he was doing?
Well, his father didn't break his maiden until February of his three-year-old year. So it's a kind of the family history that he had all of the parts in the right places and was athletic enough, but he hadn't figured out how to run. I think now he's figured it all out.
And one of his owners, co-owners and co-breeders is Frank Jones, who's been your whole career, he's been one of your clients. And you said the other day, it would be the highlight of your career, which is saying a whole lot for an Eclipse Award-winning trainer, if you could get a horse to the Derby for Frank Jones. And so could you just talk about your relationship?
Well, Frank Jones, if anybody knows the two of us, know, they know that he's a whole lot more than the client. That's about the bottom of the list of what he is in my life or with me and my family. He was with my father before I was born. He doesn't have any children. He's been a mainstay of racing in Kentucky and the whole community of Louisville ever since I was alive. And he's much more than a client and more like a father figure. I lost my father when he was 59, and Frank's kind of stepped in there, and he tells me when I do things right, and he's not afraid to jump up and tell me when I'm acting bad or doing things wrong, whether it's his horse or not. And I don't know, I hate to think what my life would have been without him in it.
Do you talk to him a lot about having a potential horse for the Derby, and what's his reaction to being at this position with Cherry Wine?
You know, Frank and I speak three times a day, and you know he's a reserved man. He's a reserved business, all business, but you can tell there's starting to be a little bit of excitement in his voice, and he isn't going to say it, but I know how important it would be for him to walk into that paddock for Derby Day with a Derby horse and a real chance to win it with a horse that is quality and could up and win it. And, you know, there would be nothing more fitting, not only for me, but just for racing in Kentucky and for all the stars to line up this year and Frank Jones win a Kentucky Derby.
And you called Brody's cause, said he was sort of the perfect prototype of a Derby horse. He did not have the perfect prototype of a prep. He's only have two in the Sam Davis when he finished seventh. You know, he trained really well, had worked well at the track, so what happened?
I don't know. I have no explanation. I have no explanation for the first time he ran in his life. I had told him all along that he was one of our best horses, and he runs dead last first time out, and you just scratch your head. And then he comes back and wins the grade one and third in the Breeders' Cup. And then I took him up to Tampa thinking that it was a cakewalk, that he was just going to gallop. And, you know, I'm usually a pessimist, but he just spun his wheels all the way around there. But I've never had a horse train well and going up to a race and then run so poorly, but then come out training like a complete monster, and that's what he's done. So hopefully it's just a fitness issue. Some of these horses, they've got big cardios, or they're big and strong, and you can't train them fit. And maybe he needed that race. And if there's any track around to get a horse fit and ready to run, it's Tampa.
Then looking ahead to next week, you have Unbridled Outlaw, who you said might be the most talented of your current three-year-old crop. He's going in the Arkansas Derby after finishing second in an allowance race in his debut. You know, talk about Unbridled Outlaw.
Well, I don't think there are many horses that want to match racing a mile. He's a fast, talented horse, and you know, there's some questions on whether or not he'll be able to get the distance. And he got hurt a little bit in the Breeders' Cup last year, but he has a two-year-old foundation it takes. It'll be his third start in a rotation, just like with Brody, if he can make it to the Derby. And then the day we ran him at Oakland, first start this year in the allowance race, it was a Rebel day, and he ran a quarter of a Ragusan point less than the winner of the Rebel did. So he's extremely talented. He's doing well right now, and I expect him to jump up and run big next weekend.
So if things fall into place, do you expect to have three horses in the Kentucky Derby?
Yeah, but that's not very good because I expected to have the whole field when I got my crop of two-year-olds in last year. So I'm 17 short.
The complexion of the Kentucky Derby at this stage, the three-year-olds, you know, you've certainly run into Nyquist before in the Breeders' Cup. A little different scenario from last year when early on you thought American Pharoah was a monster and he proved so.
Well, I was closer to American Pharoah. You know, I watched him breeze his very first work of his life on the farm in Ocala with Mr. Zayat, and we all looked at each other and said, never seen anything like it. So we knew what kind of horse he was, and it was an entertaining run. It's the first time I've had a horse that wasn't mine that I followed so closely and was really entertaining to watch. But, you know, Nyquist doesn't near get to do he deserves. He'd be the first undefeated champion to come into this race, I think, since Seattle Slough. And he just keeps doing things right and keeps winning. But I think the filly running faster than him every time they run has somehow tarnished what he's done. But he's a special horse.
Dale Romans with Jenny Reese earlier this week. Our thanks to Jenny for sending that in. JT, there you go. He ends kind of echoing our sentiments, talking about Nyquist not getting the due that he deserves. We talked about that in the first segment of the show. But looking back on some of the other comments that Dale made about his contenders in today's Bluegrass, Brody's Cause and Cherry Wine, said Brody's Cause, kind of a prototypical Derby horse. He was a bit baffled by that poor effort at Tampa Bay last time out. And Cherry Wine, he's his little Rudy, as he referred to him.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't baffled by Brody's Cause's race. On my Pope Jude sheet, I said, beware of this horse, because
you said it on the show that morning.
When you have a closer that's making a comeback, they don't usually run that good. It takes him a race or two, and he ran so poorly, he may need today's race again. You hear how great he's training, but Dale loved him going into the last race.
He did.
And he really ran horribly.
Yeah.
And then, you know, what did he get out of that? Did he get anything out of it? Is he going to move forward off that race? Probably somewhat, but is he going to be super, super sharp to the point where he can win? And then you look at Dale's other horse, Cherry Wine, who, of course, you and I have liked all along, and he had that little hiccup with the illness, the fever. But obviously, he came back and ran well, and now he's trained. A couple of the private clockers have said that he's trained better than ever. So, I mean, I got to give him the edge today in the Bluegrass.
Just the fact that Dale loved Brody's Cause going into that last race at Tampa is news in its own right, because Dale never likes any of his horses.
Yeah, no, never. Never. He's the biggest pessimist I've ever seen.
Of course, yeah. A bit of sarcasm in that statement there for sure.
Yeah. Okay, Sheldon.
Yeah. John Siskos is going to join us here in just a few minutes. He, of course, is the director of publicity at Woodbine. We'll tell you all about their opening day and what's coming up for their meet. And then we're going to hear from Mike Smith, who joined me yesterday for an interview. That comes up at 8:45 Eastern Time. Pause right now for our Lexus Legends of the Turf story, brought to you each and every Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington. And we're back right after this.
Pouring back the sands of time through the hourglass of racing history to a late November day in 1923 brings us to the story of a match race between two superb thoroughbreds who squared off in a rubber match, having defeated each other once already. It was at Churchill Downs, and an enormous crowd had assembled for what promised to be a dandy in no uncertain terms. The combatants, Harry F. Sinclair Zev and Carl Weideman's In Memorial. Zev had won the first confrontation between the two in that year's edition of the Kentucky Derby, and In Memoriam had turned the tables on his foe in the Latonia Championship Stakes barely 3 weeks before this particular match race. Each of the owners put up $10,000. The Kentucky Jockey Club did likewise. The winner was to take home $25,000, the loser, $5,000. Earl Sandy was in the saddle on Zeb. Mac Garner drew the assignment on In Memoriam. Zeb was a big brown horse wearing blinkers for this match, and In Memoriam was a strapping bay with a deep chest and a long, free stride. When they lined up at the barrier, every eye was glued to the two stalwarts, and the excitement and anticipation of the moment was indeed intense. Zeb made a false start. Then starter William Hamilton let them go on their way to a race that, to this very day, underscored in the annals of sport as one of the all-time great ones. Zev broke out on top, but apparently under orders. Sandy wrapped up his mount a bit and let In Memoriam under Garner go on out to set the pace. Down the stretch, neath the Hallow Twin Spires and on into the turn, it was In Memoriam by a length. On around the clubhouse turn, they stayed the same way, and as they went down the backside, In Memoriam opened the lead up to a length and a half. At the half-mile pole, In Memoriam headed by two, and Zeb's fans began to wonder if their favorite could catch his rival, who was running easily and being well-rated by Garner. At the three-furlong marker, Sandy dropped his mount down and asked for a run, and a run he got. The white silks of the Rancocas stable glistening in the fall sunlight began to cut down the margin, and by the time they hit the top of the stretch, they were racing as a team, a ton of horse flesh pounding powerfully to the wire. This, my friends, was a horse race by any measure or means. In Memoriam on the rail, Zev matching marvelous strides just to the outside of him. As they thundered down the straight, Zev drew away to an open length lead, and then a length and a half, but with a furlong to run. It was for practical purposes all over. It appeared In Memoriam was a beaten horse. But wait just 1 minute. Garner began pumping, whipping, and driving furiously, and with enormous courage, In Memoriam came on again, closing the gap with every long, smooth stride. Late on that bright, sunny autumn afternoon, with shadows creeping across the racing surface, these two titans of the turf, with their brilliant riders driving their mounts forward in synchronized motion, provided the vast throng with the most magnificent spectacle of sport. The crowd roar had been swelling to now reach a crescendo, as the two locked together just noses apart, only jumps to the wire. The 40,000 on hand at Churchill that day breathlessly spent from what had been a spectacular race. As they hit the wire with In Memoriam on the rail, Zev on the outside, nothing to separate them. Zev roared some, In Memoriam roared others. "It's a dead heat," yelled one spectator who nearly toppled from a perch on the grandstand roof from all the excitement. Jack Dempsey, a long-time well-noted turf observer, called it In Memoriam by a nose. "In Memoriam," the wires flashed, and the telephones called out. But wait just 1 minute. The call came out that Zeb had been declared the winner. So close was the finish that will always be, to this very day, a matter of dispute amongst those who saw it as to which horse actually had won it. There were no photographically recorded finishes in those days, only three placing judges hovering above the track at the wire, who apparently saw Zev's brown nose at the wire, a bare fraction before In Memoriam's ruddy bay nostrils. Both riders, Sandy and Garner, had handled their mounts beautifully. Losing owner Carl Weideman said to winning owner Harry Sinclair, quote, "It was a race fit for kings between the two best horses ever to be found," unquote. It all happened November of 1923 at Churchill Downs, a great moment in thoroughbred racing.
And that is your Lexus Legends of the Turf story for this morning, brought to you each and every Saturday by the Lexus store of Lexington on the corner of New Circle and Liberty here in Lexington, Kentucky. And I tell you, each and every week, if you're in the market for a new vehicle, a pre-owned vehicle, if you're in the horse business, there is only one place to go. I promise you. Look, we just drove 1,000 miles one way and 1,000 miles the other way to get back from Florida, which makes sense because if you go one way, you got to come back.
That's called a round trip.
Round trip. 2,000 miles. Round trip, plus all the miles we put on it down there in Florida with my new Lexus, right?
Yes.
Well, it's not so new anymore. It's 2014, but it still is like day one.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. You rode in it all the way there.
I love that car. It's a lovely car. I drove it while I was there. I took very good care of it.
I hate long car rides. I don't think I could have done it if I didn't have a vehicle like I have with that RX.
Yeah. No, it was very comfortable and drives like a top. Very smooth. You could do a circumcision in the back seat.
Thank God we didn't try that.
Well, you were too busy sending me emails clogging up my inbox. The guy's sitting 14 inches away from me and he's emailing me. I open my phone and I've got 10 emails from the Baron.
I'm still waiting for a response to some of those, too, yeah, by the way. I think you just hit delete.
delete.
All right. Well, I told you it is opening day at Woodbine, and they kick off a stellar meet later this afternoon, first post 1 p.m. And John Siskos is the director of publicity at Woodbine. He's a very popular guest here on the program. We welcome him back to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. John, good morning. Happy opening day.
Good morning, Mike and Jude. Thank you very much. It's a very exciting time of year, as you'd get. And it's a little cold here in town, but you know, the racing action will heat it up.
Yeah, it's going to be spectacular. And this is somewhat of a milestone meet for Woodbine, the 60th year of thoroughbred racing. Congratulations.
Right. It's our 60th anniversary. Woodbine was launched June 12. I should know that clearly. But it's June 12, 1956. That Woodbine was built and started up for thoroughbred racing, and we're going to go pretty hard on it. It's a celebratory year, and so many amazing things in thoroughbred racing have happened at Woodbine. Secretariat, Northern Dancer, all of the very famous horses that I've run at Woodbine, and we're going to celebrate that, the people, what we did in the past, what has happened in the past, and frankly, what we got going in the future as well.
Well, your meet kind of kicked off yesterday at Keeneland with Emma Jane Wilson and Roger Atfield scoring in the Transylvania Stakes. That had to set the tone for you guys for a big year.
Oh, I mean, I think so. I mean, that's what we talked about last night. The Sovereign Awards were last night, by the way, gentlemen. But that's sort of a lot of people talking about Shockman and how impressive he was. And, you know, Roger Atfield has used the race before to go on to the Queen's Plate. Okay, very, very interesting path, turf race to the Queen's Plate, the road to the Queen's Plate. But I mean, he might be a turf horse, this horse, and you know, perhaps veer off to the veer off and stay on the turf. But Emma Jane was rode the horse great, and she's back today. And he's quite clearly a serious horse that we'll have on our grounds this year.
John, I read a little promo for Woodbine a short time ago here on the program, and one thing I mentioned was the 20-cent bet minimums on the Triactor, the Superfecta, pick three, pick four, and then you have a guarantee of $100,000 in the early pick four pools on Saturdays and Sundays, $50,000 on Fridays. So a lot of things to look forward to on the wagering side, too.
Right, and the most exciting thing, those are all legitimate things, very, very important parts of our wagering menu, but we are introducing a new wager this year, and that's rolling doubles, which have a 15% takeout. It was a discussion here to make sure that core players, we gave something to core players that they really appreciate, and ultimately it's the fundamental bets that have a low takeout. So we've gotten quite a bit of fine feedback on, hey, good job doing this, giving us rolling doubles for the meet coming up. And so, again, it's not the flashy jackpot high five, you know, $100,000 wager, cash, pardon me, but it is a nice fundamental bet that people can grind out money on.
Yeah, well, it's so important takeout these days, and a lot of players adjust their playing by the takeout. And hats off to you guys for making things a little better for the horse player.
Well, I think a key thing for us is that we don't always have the lowest takeouts, but we have it in our mind to be conscious of whatever we can do affordably, that we do it, we have a low takeout on these wagers because we think it's important.
John Siskos, Director of Publicity at Woodbine, joining us here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. John, you mentioned some new things that Woodbine is trying on the wagering side, but also on the racing side, including some races on that outstanding turf course that are going to be run in the opposite direction. Tell me about that.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. It's a concept that we announced, revealed last fall, and it was a, quite obviously, as you know, and your listeners know, that racing is conducted counterclockwise. We have a portion of our turf course that it's a mile and a half around, so it's only used at mile and a half and mile quarter races. So there's this great sort of ribbon of green that we could use for turf races if we ran the races in the opposite direction. So these and we don't have 5 and a 5.5 furlong races on our racing menu. So here was a creative way of using that portion of the turf course. Offering 5 and 5.5 furlong races to the horse people, and having something cool, having horses in the opposite way, and it got quite a bit of mainstream attention, and we're very excited about it. We expect to, the soft sort of plan is to get something done starting in the last week of May or so, and offer approximately one a week where we'd offer horses running in the clockwise direction on the turf course. It's a little bit different, you know, the configuration of the turf course is a little bit different, so it will be a different type of race.
You can get some horses ready for the Sandy Lane Gold Cup in Barbados.
That's right. You know, we'll have a little more room than they have down there, but something like that is correct.
Well, right. I know Patrick Husbands would be on board with that concept, so I don't think there's any issues there, John.
Yeah, there's the bend. If you look at the configuration at Woodbine, the bend at the top where the turf chute is seemingly tight, but you mean there's a great GoPro video out there with that Emma Jane Wilson did. She put the GoPro on her helmet, and it shows her journey of when we did a training race on the for the clockwise race. It's pretty interesting, and the hairpin isn't quite as hairpin. It's just a little tighter than you'd have a regular bend.
John Sisco's with us on the Horse Racing Radio Network. They also have installed a new Tapeta racing surface at Woodbine this year. That's going to be exciting. Of course, that is the same surface they will contest the 157th running of the historic Queen's Plate. We'll be there on Sunday, July 3rd to bring you that coverage here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. John, our first trip to Woodbine, another international broadcast for us here on the network, and we really look forward to getting up there for that show.
Oh, you know what? When we talked about our plans for this year, Mike, I thought, man, you're coming up. That's probably the most exciting thing we've got going on. I really, really quite excited about that you guys coming up for it. The plate is a different animal for us. It's like the Kentucky Derby. It's something. I mean, well, you'll see it. You'll see it, and we're quite happy to have you up there. It'll really your listeners will. Well, we'll really get a sense of what the Queen's Plate is when you're up here.
John, I have to tell you, John, I'm going to stop you right there, because if Jude and I are the most exciting thing that Woodbine has going on this meet, you guys are in big trouble.
Yeah. Well, I'm a horse player at heart, so you guys are important to me.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah. You know, I've been getting a kick out of people that ask me, what are you doing 4th of July? And I tell them I'm going to Canada, and the election hasn't even been contested yet. So.
Well, you know, you'll find out a few months later if you're going to come up here permanently, I guess.
That's right.
But no, it's an exciting time. You'll love it up here, and we'll treat you right for sure.
Well, John, as always, can't thank you enough for your time. We really look forward to promoting all the different things happening at Woodbine throughout this entire meet, and of course, getting up there for the Queen's Plate on July 3rd. Really appreciate it. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, you receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It's the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. We'll go ahead and get that up to you. And thanks so much for being here again, my friend.
Thank you again, gentlemen. Have a great day.
Enjoy opening day. John Sisco's with us here on HRRN. We're going to get to a commercial break. When we come back, our Right or Wrong segment, presented by Sunrise Stallions. I'll be joined by the Big A, Anthony Stabile from New York. And then you're going to hear from Hall of Fame jockey Mike Smith following that particular segment. Before the break, though, let's remind you that our good friend Barry Irwin over at Team Valor, the owner of Kentucky Derby winner Animal Kingdom, has written a memoir which launched this past Thursday. Now, if you haven't heard about this, the title of the book is Derby Innovator, The Making of Animal Kingdom. It's a 303-page book that is available in hardback, paperback, and e-format. And you can check it out and purchase your copy at the usual online outlets, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, etc. Get more details about the book on the Team Valor Facebook page or by going to teamvalor.com. We're back with more on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the 2016 Kentucky Derby and the Triple Crown.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back.
Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Pin Oak Studs, Broken Vow, ranks among the top sires in North America every year. Runners by this outstanding son of Unbridled have earned nearly $54 million and won major stakes on all surfaces from coast to coast. Sought after in the sales ring and hard to catch on the track, Broken Vow consistently has success at the highest level. Broken Vow at Pin Oak Stud.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
What is it about Tony's steaks and seafood that makes it such an incredible dining experience? Well, it could be the steaks. One reviewer said, "This is steak nirvana." Or how about the great seafood, the incredible atmosphere, and service that's unmatched anywhere? All of those things. It's Tony's of Lexington on Main Street, right across from Triangle Park. Come in and become part of Tony's family.
I'm back with Dr. Jim Chiappetta from Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Jim, why are we seeing more horsemen around the world using Flair strips?
Mike, I think more horsemen are realizing the simple fact that breathing easier is critical for horses' health and performance. When running, horses are bringing in about 10 bathtubs of air every minute through the narrowest part of the airway that collapses at speed. What the strips do is support the tissue in that region so it collapses less, so horses bring the air in more efficiently.
Breathe easy with Flair strips. FlairStrips.com.
This is Bruce Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Songbird is about five in front of the quarter pole. Songbird turning for home by six lengths and still being cuddled by Mike Smith. Jade Princess second, being joined on the outside by Land Over Sea, but he hasn't breathed on the undefeated champion filly. Songbird past the eighth pole by a half dozen lengths. Land Over Sea is second. She's giving game but fruitless pursuit. It's all Songbird. She's got them beaten to a frazzle. How'd you like to earn 60 grand as easily as this? Songbird wins by, well, whatever she felt like. Second home in the race, Land Over Sea from Mocat and Jade Princess.
Michael Rona having a little call, a little fun with that call of the Grade 3 Santa Isabel, and Songbird winning by, well, as he said, whatever she wants to. And it was very impressive. She has yet to be challenged. We're going to hear from Hall of Fame jockey Mike Smith, who has been aboard for each of her six perfect outings so far. He also rides Dancing Candy in today's Santa Anita Derby. Mike took the time to visit with me yesterday, so you hear that interview coming up in just about 5 minutes from right now. But before we get to that, it is time for your weekly Right or Wrong segment presented by Sunrise Stallions, home to Big Brown, Frost Giant, and his full brother, Heavy Breathing.
Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
Nick Zito doing the honors for us there as always. And Big A, Anthony Stabile joining me from New York. Big A, first of all, I know we got to keep this short and brief, but congratulations on picking Nikki Z with both of those winners yesterday on our Express Bet radio show.
11 and change and 29 Hammers. Us New York guys got to stick together. It was good to see Mickey get a couple of winner circle picks yesterday.
Yeah, good for the Hall of Famer. All right, here we go. Number one, Nyquist came east and conquered Mo Hayman and everybody else in last weekend's Florida Derby. He's a perfect 7-4-7. He's the juvenile champion, yet he seems to have his fair share of detractors saying he ain't legit. Big A, are those people right or wrong?
I think at the end of the day, those people are going to be right. I think a lot of people don't appreciate what he's done already. And keep an eye on the bigger prize, of course, being the Kentucky Derby in this instance. And I feel like a lot of people, and I'm one of them, think he's going to have distance limitations. I feel like last Saturday was his Derby with all of that money on the line. And I know there's no other race like the Derby, but with all that money on the line, he's got to be cranked for that race last Saturday. And I think that's the mindset of a lot of people out there. So, like I said, at the end of the day, I think the tractors are going to be right.
See, I disagree. I think the main goal is still the first Saturday in May. It always has been. And Doug O'Neill had this plan mapped out for Nyquist where he was going to go 7/8, mile and an eighth, and then into the Kentucky Derby as a fresh horse. And judging by the way he ran last week and the way he looked at Gulfstream, he certainly appears to be right on target to get to the Derby as a fresh horse. Now, he had a little bit of a hiccup here at Keeneland with a high blood cell count. They'll get him over that, and he should be fine going into the Kentucky Derby 5 weeks from today. I don't understand his detractors. I kind of touched on this at the top of the show. A horse is 7-for-7. He's the juvenile champion. I wonder how many of those detractors would turn him down if they said, hey, you can have Nyquist. You can own him today. How many of them are going to say, well, no, his buyer speed figures are a little too low. I'm not interested. Come on, give me a break. They're completely wrong.
Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
All right, number two. The Bluegrass Stakes is tied with the Champagne for most Kentucky Derby winners produced. But it's been 9 years since we've seen a horse draped in roses after competing in the Bluegrass. That streak comes to an end this year. Right or wrong, Big A?
I think that's wrong as well, Baron. You know, Zulu's a nice horse. My man Sam's a nice horse. Donegal Moon, the two from Dale Romans. But there's not enough meat on the bone, if you will. I always go back to food, you know that. Not enough meat on the bone in this Bluegrass today for me to think that streak can come to an end.
I concur. I don't think I don't think there is. I don't think that this is the year it comes to an end. Nobody in this field really strikes me as being the Kentucky Derby winner. Brody's Cause, if he puts it all together, look, he's completely capable of being a Kentucky Derby winner. Dale Roman said he's your stereotypical Derby type of horse. He's got a great pedigree. He should be able to handle the mile and a quarter quite easily. He's got to get a clean trip in Louisville, but if he can prove that he's back on his game this afternoon, maybe Brody's Cause, but I'm still going to say that's a bit of a long shot, and I'm going to say that that is indeed incorrect, that the streak comes to an end this year.
Yeah, right or wrong. Okay.
All right, Big A, we appreciate it. Right or Wrong, presented by Sunrise Stallions. We'll catch up with you next week.
You got it, man.
All right, we're back to hear from Hall of Fame jockey Mike Smith right after this word from Sunrise.
Frost Giant, the leading New York Stallion of New York Stallion Series stakes races with 8 wins in the last 3 years. A New York Stallion ranking second nationally in his class of 81 sires by A-Runner Index of 2.61 and by ABC Index of 2.12. From the super-rich La Troyenne Stallion family related to such sires as Super Saber, Not For Love, Girolamo, Mooktuck Deem, and Bluegrass Cat. Frost Giant, standing at Keen Stud. Contact Eric Bishop, eric@sunrisestallions.com.
Hall of Fame jockey Mike Smith did indeed take the time to join me yesterday. He talked about riding Songbird. He talked about riding Dancing Candy in today's Santa Anita Derby. And here's what Mike had to say about those two horses.
Mike Smith has ridden more than 5,300 winners in his Hall of Fame career. On Saturday, he rides his champion filly Songbird in the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks and the rapidly improving 3-year-old colt Dancing Candy in the Santa Anita Derby. Mike, combined, you are a perfect 9-for-9 with those two horses. What's the secret, man?
Wow, I never thought of it that way. You know, just getting the opportunity to ride two talented, very talented horses. You know, I mean, Songbird's, as we all known and have seen since she's two, has been just, you know, dominating the competition and hopefully will continue to do so. And then, like you said, as far as Anza Candy goes, I mean, he just all of a sudden popping onto the scene and it's opening up some eyes a little. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how they both do tomorrow. We've got a lot of rain this afternoon and more predicted for tomorrow. So it's going to be an off track, which neither one of them have run on. Although Magaly Dioro has shown that they run well in the mud. You never know until you have to do it. But the both training really, really well, and I'm expecting some pretty great, all goes well, I'm expecting some pretty great efforts out of both of them.
Well, let's start with Songbird. Perfect 6 for 6. What makes her so good, Mike?
Just, you know, all the above, man. She's just very talented. She's just fast. She's really, really fast. She's got a lot of stamina. She's got a great mind that goes along with the ability. Her balance is incredible. I mean, you just feel like you're just floating along. I mean, you know, some horses you have to help or hold up or something like that. And, I mean, you just basically put your hands down with her, and she's just so smooth. There's no wasted action. You know, what makes any great horse great? I can't honestly tell you what it all is, but whatever it is, she's got it and seems to have more of it in there. So I hope we never have to see how much better she is. As far as things go now, as long as she continues to just do what she's been doing, that's been by far good enough. There's no telling, you know, how good she really could be. Like I said earlier, it's scary to even think about.
You know, you've had the privilege to be aboard some legendary racehorses in your career. Holy Bull, Zenyatta, Lure, Azari, Game On Dude, and the list goes on and on. Describe what it's like to be in the saddle with horses who are that special.
Well, they're just a different. It's just like getting into a different car. to put it into a way that maybe someone who's never been on a horse could understand. I mean, you get into a Prius and then you get into a Ferrari. I mean, it's just two totally different feelings. And that's kind of the way it is with a good horse. I mean, you sit on a good horse's back. I mean, you know, as soon as they walk, just the way they walk, their balance, the way they stride, the way they carry themselves, it's just better than the others, you know?
Well, she's been better than everybody else throughout her career so far. Let's hope that continues. Let's move on to Dancing Candy, Mike, and look back on that San Felipe for a minute. He continues to improve with every start. How good was that race?
Yeah, I mean, that was a very good race. I mean, you had almost like Exaggerator in there, and More Spirit, the same ones that are going to be in there tomorrow that have been highly regarded all since they were two or early on in the Derby Trail. More Spirit being, you know, in the top three as far as the favorites go for the Derby. So, you know, to be able to beat him like he did the other day was pretty impressive. Now, you know, each race is different, and there's more speed in there this time. So we just got to see what he does. And, again, it could be an off track, so I'm not sure, you know, how he'll handle it. But if he'll run like he's been running, I see him, you know, just running another big race. Or where that puts him, we're not going to find out until tomorrow. But, I mean, I see him running really big.
Well, you know, if he runs big, you'll be back on your way to Louisville again. You may be there anyways, whether it's with Dancing Candy or with somebody else. But let's face it, Mike, you've ridden in 21 Kentucky Derbies. You've won it with Giacomo in 05. I talked to you before the Derby last year. You told me how much it means to you. At this point in your career, and I don't know how much longer Mike Smith is going to continue riding, but what would it mean to have that second Kentucky Derby trophy at this point?
Oh, it'd be incredible, man. I couldn't put in words what it means, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, I've been blessed to have ridden some really, really good horses, some very live horses in the Derby, and not, you know, able to win it. I can't tell you how many times I've been second. But to get up and you know, to finally get, you know, the opportunity to see what it felt like with Giacomo, man, it just makes you want it even that much more. And you know, given the opportunity that I've had, I feel like I should have more than one. I've been very blessed to have had some really live mounts in the Derby. So to get another one under my belt would be, like I said, I couldn't even put it in words what it would mean.
Well, you described it last year as needing a horse that makes moves and counter moves. That's critical to winning the Kentucky Derby. Does Dancing Candy seem like that type of horse to you?
It's hard to say, to be honest with you, Mike, right now, because he's only done one thing, and that's go to the lead and continue to run on the lead. And run quick. But in saying that, no one's just been quick enough to get in front of him. Now, if that's the case, you know, tomorrow we'll find out what he does. You know, come sitting just off of it. But for someone to do it, I mean, they're gonna have to sacrifice themselves a bit to do it, because he's naturally quick, and I'm not gonna take away nothing that comes easy. Let's put it that way. So, you know, if the opportunity presented itself and I was able to sit off somebody, well that's fine. But I'm going right now, as far as I'm concerned. My intent is being on the lead. So we certainly won't find out tomorrow if that's the case, if I have anything to say about it anyway.
Mike, all the best on Saturday. Really appreciate the time, and all the best making your way back to Churchill Downs. I'll look forward to seeing you when you get there, my friend.
Man, I'm looking forward to it. Thank you, Mike, and I appreciate you having me on.
All right, thanks, buddy.
Yes, sir.
Well, if Mike Smith has his way, Dancing Candy will be on the lead in the Santa Anita Derby, and that's really not a shock when you look at his past performances, because each of his last three wins with Mike aboard have come in wire-to-wire fashion, and he feels as if he's a very naturally fast horse, and we know that Songbird is, and she's going to be forwardly placed, if not on the lead in there. So Mike's not expecting to get dirty out there at Santa Anita today.
Kind of a departure from his Zenyatta style.
Yeah, complete departure. But he's so good. He can pull it off either way. The guy's the best.
Yeah, well, somebody that can rate a horse like he can, no problem there being on the lead. And he's just an outstanding rider, no matter what the conditions. He's always one of the top choices.
As they say, he is well mounted at Santa Anita today.
Well, maybe that's what you'd say. I try to avoid that stuff.
All right. Hour number two, coming up momentarily, going to be joined by John Gasper and Steve Castagnola, as we are each and every Keeneland meet. Been doing that for the past, 20 years or so, long before I came on board with this program. Looking forward to having those individuals in studio with us. We're going to look at all the big races coming up at Keeneland, at Aqueduct, and at Santa Anita. And don't forget that our coverage this afternoon begins 4 o'clock Eastern Time. You will hear all three major Derby prep races with us exclusively here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. 4 o'clock Eastern, Sirius XM, Channel 83, and of course, streaming worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net, and you can tune in on our Louisville affiliate, ESPN 680, as well. So a lot of ways to listen to us this afternoon. You can learn more by going to horseracingradio.net. We'll get to a short break, pause 10 seconds for station identification, and we'll come back with hour number two. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Power. To honor and serve is the real deal here.
Passion.
To honor and serve is the winner of the Cigar Mile.
Performance.
To honor and serve would not let Mucho Macho Man buy.
Gainesway Stallion to honor and serve. Bernardini's Grade 1 Millionaire and Top 10 Yearling Sire with his first crop in 2015. To honor and serve yearlings included $450,000 and $220,000 colts at Phasic Tipton Saratoga and the session-topping $300,000 filly at the Phasic Tipton New York bred sale in August. Keeneland September yearlings by To Honor and Serve were topped by $250,000, $195,000, and $160,000 colts and a $150,000 filly. To Honor and Serve is Bernardini's only multiple graded stakes winner at 2, 3, and 4, defeating Breeders' Cup Classic winner Mucho Macho Man 3 times in 4 meetings, all in graded stakes. To Honor and Serve, standing at Gainesway.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End.
The 37-year wait is over! American Pharoah is finally the one! American Pharoah has won the Triple Crown!
Songbird is just rolling past the eighth pole, has the lead by 6. Rachel Valentina is in second, but there is absolutely no stopping Songbird.
Beholder, once again, is just making this look so easy. It is Beholder in an absolute canter, being geared down late by Gary Stevens.
Behold her in a formality.
Stop Charging Maria, short lead. Stellar Wind is fighting on. Stop Charging Maria. Just keep battling back. Stop Charging Maria wins the Longines Breeders' Cup Distaff.
Now, here's Mike Pena and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch, Pope Jude, Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld with you in our Lexington, Kentucky studios, about 1,000 miles north of where we've come to you for the last 9 weeks at Gulfstream Park in Hallandale Beach, Florida. But that's all right, other than a 40-degree temperature drop, JT.
Yeah, well, it's all right with you, but yeah, it's not hasn't been good for the Pontiff. My creaky bones prefer the friendly confines of the Aventura Yacht Club.
Well, thankfully, our broadcast position at Keeneland this afternoon for all of our coverage beginning at 4 o'clock Eastern is inside. Not the case for our good friend, Hall of Fame turf rider Jenny Reese, who's going to be helping out with that coverage. She'll be playing our Sean Clancy role, so to speak, and reporting from the paddock and the winner's circle for us throughout the afternoon. So I told her to make sure she dresses warm because, as you know, at Keeneland, always 10 degrees colder than any other place on the planet.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can freeze to death out there.
Yeah.
That's why we're in studio today.
Oh, that's why?
That's why.
The Baron doesn't like to be cold.
Who does?
Yeah. As John Gasper once said on
my
this program.
My tan is fading. This is terrible. I can't even go fishing.
That is a very impressive tan.
Thank you.
Bronze Adonis.
Yeah.
Welcome back, fellas.
More like Bronze Santa.
Thanks, brother.
It's nice to see you. One of my favorite things I look forward to all year long is sitting in here with you guys. We've been doing it for a long, long time. And you both look very well off your 9-week vacation in South Florida.
Yes.
Vacation. Yeah. I wish it was a vacation.
You've done well. The show's been great from down there. We all appreciate your hard work in sunny southern Florida.
And, of course, that voice you're hearing is Steve Castagnola. John Gasper is also with us again this meet. John, here we go again, my friend.
Yep, just glad to be here. You know, and it looks like we've got a good card today, not only here, but in New York. Tampa has a big card today. They have six stakes out there. Of course, you have Santa Anita. There's a couple of good three-year-old fillies running at Oaklawn today in the fantasy, too.
Yeah.
Really nice fillies that Steve Asmussen has. So there's a lot of good racing. And then, of course, we got the Masters, which takes precedence for me.
Right, right. But with Phil being out now, I don't know. It lost some luster for me.
See, them guys are down there crying and stuff because the wind's blowing, and this is what we have to deal with every time we go out.
How would they like to be one of these jockeys that has to get up on a horse today at Keeneland with the winds blowing and temperatures in the low 40s and wind chill probably much less than that? I wouldn't want to do it.
Well, you know, in New York, they canceled, when was it, last weekend, I think? I think it was the Top Flight was supposed to run last Saturday, I believe, or Sunday. Yeah. And, you know, we had these winds, of course, here, and it was the same up there. And I've been up there, of course, for 20 years I worked up there. But there's been many a time at Aqueduct that they've canceled the races because of the wind. And because it'll blow those horses from one path to the next, and they have no control over them. And obviously that could be, catastrophic in some cases. So they will certainly cancel the races in a heartbeat up there because of the wind.
Well, hopefully that doesn't happen today.
No, it won't happen today. It'll be fine. But all right, well, let's get going.
Let's get to it. We're going to look at all the big races here at Keeneland, the greatest stakes at Aqueduct, and we'll get to a couple at Santa Anita as well, including that Santa Anita Derby. Quick reminder, if you did miss any portion of the first half of the program, as always, you can go to our website, horseracingradio.net. A podcast will be available shortly after we finish up here at 10 o'clock Eastern. Our interviews with Dale Romans, John Siskos, and Hall of Famer Mike Smith in the first half of the show. All right, let's kick it off with the Grade 1 Central Bank Ashland, which is a mile and a 16th on the main racing surface at Keeneland this afternoon. Purse of 500,000, short field of 5, but it does include the very talented filly, Catherine Sophia.
Yeah, there's probably three horses in here that have a really big chance to win. And, of course, Catherine Sophia has not been two turns as of yet, and this is a two-turn race with a short finish line, which would probably be somewhat in her favor, I think. I don't think that that's going to matter, that it's two turns with her. You know, she's got arguably the best rider in the country right now, and Javier Castellano coming back to ride her again. And she's, you know, it's a short field. Like I say, she's got, she'll probably be on the lead or right close to it more than likely, you would think. And but the fillies, the other two fillies on her outside are certainly quality fillies, and Rachel's Valentina, and of course that's the daughter of Rachel Alexander, and there'll be some, I'm sure, some sentimental bets on her just because of that. And then you got the bottom horse down there, Vermont, you know, this Karina Mia,
yeah,
that, you know, even though she hasn't run since last fall, she's not done a lot wrong herself. So, you know, if you had any one of these three, you'd be optimistic on having a big chance to win them all. But John Service is, oh, well, they're all friends of mine, of course, you know. I mean, Todd and Mott and John know them all and wish them all the best. And, you know, like I say, I think that if you had any one of these threes, you could be optimistic about winning.
Yeah, it's a very good race for a short field. Stevie?
No selection, John? Just good luck to all three?
Can't they're all down? Well, they're all going to be short price. I guess if you're picking, you know, I mean, if you're going to use it in a pick three, I guess that's about the only way you could do it. I mean, they're all going to be probably 2-1 or less. I mean, you know, between even money and 2-1. So
I think
this way, if any of the three win, you could say you had the winner.
Well, I think that Racing Secretary Ben Huffman deserves a big round of applause for getting Weep No More and Banry to prevent it from being a three-horse race, because it is a three-horse race with these three fillies, and he was able to hustle up the one and the two to make it somewhat more interesting. But all three have a little question mark about them. Catherine Sophia, as John said, has not been two turns. Rachel's Valentina has not run since the Breeders' Cup, but she was not on lockdown at Payson Park, so they've obviously been pointing for this race with Rachel's Valentina, which is a little different story for Karina Mia, who hasn't run since the Goldenrod in November at Churchill, but she was locked down at Payson Park. And I know that the connections of the five, Karina Mia, would have preferred to have one race prior to the Ashland. So all three, there's a little question mark, all three are going to be less than 2-1. I don't know how you sort them out. I'm going to make a selection of the four, Rachel's Valentina. I'm a little curious why John Velasquez isn't riding her. Fangeroux more than capable of sitting in the middle of her. But John Velasquez does not ride, and he is riding at Keeneland today. But she got within 5 lengths of Songbird in the Breeders' Cup over the track and distance, and I don't know that anybody else has got within 5 lengths of Songbird. So for that reason only, and she's the longer price of the three on the morning line. So I'll take number four, Rachel's Valentina, under Fangeroux.
Isn't Johnny in New York?
He's named on two or three here today, but maybe
he
is in New York.
He's going to be up in New York to ride Outwork in the Wood.
Okay, so that would make sense. He is named on
a couple here, but I think he's going to be in New York today to ride Outwork.
That's why you make the big bucks.
Yeah.
Thanks for clearing that up.
And you got Fangeroux, who's
riding as well as anybody.
Yeah, arguably.
Yeah, how good is that kid?
One of the best jockeys in the United States.
That's it? Any selections from the Pontiff in there, or just
no? I'm in the Gasper camp. I mean, I think one of those three fillies will win. I think it's a horrible betting race, so I would not.
Three lovely, lovely fillies, though, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. They're all good. They're all capable. The one thing I will say about the race is that the fillies that haven't run ran very competitive Brisnet Speed Figures as 2-year-olds, and if they improve 20%, they're going to be better than Catherine Sophia, and sometimes that happens. So that's a good handicapping angle to look at when the 2-year-old speed figures are comparable to the speed figures of horses running at three. The horses that haven't performed yet usually have a little bit of an edge.
Yeah, and I can tell you this. Stevie mentioned Ben Huffman, racing secretary at Keeneland. I had a chat with Tiffany Bork, who, by the way, congratulations to her. She's the new stakes coordinator at Keeneland this meet. And she was telling me how hard she had to really work to get some other horses to run against Catherine Sophia, because she is an absolute monster. And looks like she could be today in the Ashland as well. So congrats on at least getting five horses to go in that race. Race number six, it's 3:28 Eastern is the post. It will be followed by the Grade 3 Commonwealth, which is the first race you'll hear on our coverage beginning 4 o'clock Eastern time this afternoon. You want to make sure you join us, SiriusXM Channel 83, and streaming on our website for that coverage. But the Commonwealth, 7 furlongs on the fast main track, at least we expect it to be fast, and a field of 9 set to go.
I like the look of the 4 in here, Viva Mallorca. You got some classy horses in here, and this 7 furlong distance is always sort of a tricky type distance. It's not really a route. It's not a sprint. It's kind of like the 400 meters in track. And so you want to see horses that kind of are 7 furlong specialists. I do when I handicap. I want to see a horse that has good numbers over that distance. And Viva Mallorca is one of them. He's 2 for 3 over the 7 furlong distance. Ian Wilkes is a trainer who he's going to take his time getting one ready. And this horse had not run since September of last year. He went to Gulfstream Park and ran in the Gulfstream Park sprint. Didn't run that well that day. He was 4 or 5 wide. He didn't make any kind of bid. I think Julian probably just protected him, knew that this was the race that they were going for. So that has the look of a prep to me. And I think Viva Mallorca at 8 to 1, it definitely deserves a look. You've got horses cutting back. A horse like Departing has back class. It's cutting back in distance. Holy Boss, you know, he's a fast, fast horse. But again, a horse coming off has not run since the Breeders' Cup. How about the 7, No Hiding Place? Wesley Ward, Michael Tabor with this Munnings. He's only run 3 times. He broke his maiden on the main track at Churchill Downs. He's run 2 allowance races up at Turfway. He's run very, very good raggers and sheet numbers. It could be a pace factor in this at a big price, but watch out for the 7. Going to try to wire them. He's going just a tad further than he's gone before, but my pick will be the 4, Viva Mallorca, Julian Leperu.
Well, I think I'm looking toward the outside a little bit with Barbados. He's got his coming off of a pretty good effort over there at Tampa, and these horses always seem to have come out of Tampa and run well here. He's also lost his bar shoe, which is a big deal. He had a bar shoe on, so he's got that off today. And I think being on the outside, that's a good spot to be for him. And he doesn't have to be, he'll be up somewhere like kind of, you know, pressing the pace or just right off of it. So I think it just depends on what Saez wants to do with him. But he's kind of a versatile horse, and I think that he'll have a big chance today. Holy Boss, of course, is if it was going a little bit shorter, I'd like him. But I just don't know if the 7/8 is his cup of tea. He'll certainly have some. He'll be in the race at some point for sure, and have something to say about it. And his numbers are extremely fast. And kind of a head scratcher to me is Departing. Has run. He's been running 2 turns basically most of his career. And now they're going to turn him back to the 7/8 of a mile, which a lot of handicappers like that when they turn him back like that. And, of course, you can see on his form that he has pretty much stalking speed going along. So today I would think that he's probably going to be 6, 5, 6, 7 lengths back. I wouldn't count him out at a decent price because he could certainly come running. It depends on how the racetrack's playing too today. Yesterday it seemed like there was a lot of horses come from off the pace and it was fair. I thought it was a very fair racetrack, even though it rained off and on. I don't think it's going to, today it'll be fine. I don't think there's a problem with it. So I'm going to look toward the outside today for those 3 horses. And I would say probably I'd take the 10, Barbados today, over the 8 horse Departing second, and then maybe Holy Boss third.
Schwami Angle Pope, Barbados, Schwami Angle.
Yeah, well, you know, we love Barbados, but, he's a good horse, and I did not know about the bar shoe, John. That's a good handicapping factor there.
Why is that significant?
Well, horses that run in bar shoes, first of all, you know they have a problem with their foot, and then second of all, a lot of times they don't get great traction. Now, we go back to American Pharoah, who ran in bar shoes and, you know, did quite well. So there's exceptions to every rule. But I think any trainer will tell you, and my old boss, Julio Canani, he refused to bet on a horse with a bar shoe, unless, of course, he was running one.
Unbridled Song with the bar shoe in the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah. Quickly, Ponte, we have to get to a break. Who wins the Commonwealth, in your opinion?
I like Ready for Rye. I think he needed his last race. He didn't run badly against XY Jet, who ran a bang-up race in Dubai. He's very consistent, 5 wins in 11 starts. That's who I like.
All right, when we come back, we'll take a look at the Grade 2 Shakertown, the Grade 1 Madison, and, of course, the Bluegrass Stakes. It's all ahead on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Click, order, eat. The new way of ordering Jimmy John's Freaky Fast, Freaky Good Sandwiches is a trend that's sweeping the country. With me tonight to discuss this amazing phenomenon is Ed Stephanopoulos.
Hello.
America's favorite sandwich delivery guy.
That's not entirely true, Bob.
Excuse me?
Technically, all Jimmy John's delivery guys are America's favorite sandwich delivery guys, not just me.
I see. Okay, but we're here tonight to...
Actually, what I just said wasn't entirely true either, Bob. See, some of Jimmy John's delivery guys are actually delivery gals.
All right, so now we...
Or women, or ladies, or females, or persons of the non-male gender.
Ed, could we...
Although I guess that would be a mouthful.
A what?
I mean, if I had to say America's favorite sandwich delivery women or ladies or females or persons of a non-male gender.
Okay, let's say that regardless of whether your Jimmy John's sandwich will be delivered by a guy or a gal...
Or a woman or...
The fact remains that now you can order that sandwich online using Jimmy John's amazing Click Order Eat system.
That's correct, sir.
And what would you say is the basis of that system, Ed?
The what?
The basis, the essence, the sine qua non.
It's Click Order Eat, Bob.
Moving along here, Ed, what would you say has made Click Order Eat so wildly popular?
Well, what do you think, Bob?
It's freaky fast.
Bingo, Bob.
Click, order, eat. Jimmy John's freaky fast new online ordering system.
You sound just like a commercial, sir.
Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince, the most expensive yearling from the great pioneer of the Nile's debut crop and a top-class juvenile winning the Grade 2 Nashua before his memorable battle with the Clip Champion Honor Code in the Remsen. At 3, Cairo Prince was simply sensational in the Grade 2 Holy Bull Stakes, making him the early book favorite for the Kentucky Derby.
Cairo Prince has run away! Cairo Prince and Luis Saez with an emphatic win in the Holy Bull.
Airdrie Studs, Cairo Prince. Think about it.
This is Tom Leach for Kentucky Bank's Wealth Management Department. Investing in today's world requires advice that is timely and responsive to your investment needs and objectives. At Kentucky Bank, we strive to provide you with our full range of investment services with the highest degree of service and to deliver it in a personalized and effective fashion. For a no-obligation review, call Clark Nyberg at 859-988-1318. That's Clark Nyberg, 859-988-1318. Call Kentucky Bank and call it home. I do.
Have you been looking for high-quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is the finest premium Western Timothy and alfalfa, direct from Washington State. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in Central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Learn more by following Washington Hay Company on Facebook today.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Ramsey Farms, Kitten's Joy.
Stephanie's Kitten and Erod Ortiz Jr. for America in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf.
A champion sire and producer of 3 Grade 1 winners in 2015.
Chiropractor March on Chiropractor in a driving finish here over March.
With more than $11 million in progeny earnings this year.
Big Blue Kitten won the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic.
Kitten's Joy, standing at Ramsey Farm. Visit RamseyFarm.com.
Spendthrift Farm stallion Malibu Moon has produced more Kentucky Derby contenders this decade than any other sire. His 5 Derby starters are more than Tappet, Into Mischief, Curlin, Giant's Causeway, Kitten's Joy, and Mineshaft. And Malibu Moon is the only sire among that group to have produced a Kentucky Derby winner.
Down to the wire! Orb has won the Kentucky Derby for Sean McGee!
Malibu Moon standing at Spendthrift. Visit SpendthriftFarm.com.
Hi, I'm Kayla Stratt, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Zulu takes the lead on the outside. Having gone by Pilot House, but Avast Mating is right in contention and is now moving up into second as they come toward the top of the stretch. And now John Velasquez asking more from Zulu as they turn for home. Avast Mating on the outside tries to run with him. Then comes Prospectus, who's gaining ground in between horses. Zulu kicks away and kicks away suddenly here to a five-length lead, leaving the others reeling behind. Oh, Zulu finishing strong and wins again. Zulu by about seven in the end. Tight second, maybe Prospectus over Avast Mating in a photo. Then Nygon's Edge and Brighton Lane.
Larry Colmus with the call of Zulu's impressive allowance win at Gulfstream Park. Two starts back. Of course, he returned to finish second behind Mohamed in his most recent outing. We'll see if he can pull off a victory and stamp his ticket as a legitimate Derby contender later today when he goes postward in the Bluegrass Stakes. Mike Penn and Jude Feld, we're back with you here on the Equine Forum in our Lexington studios. Our poll question today at HRRN on Twitter is, from which of today's big races, the Bluegrass, Santa Anita Derby, or Wood Memorial, is the Kentucky Derby winner most likely to come? And right now, the Santa Anita Derby winning in a runaway. 65% of our listeners saying it's the Santa Anita Derby, 19% voting for the Bluegrass, and only 16% on board with the Wood Memorial. You can go and weigh in right now at HRRN on Twitter. We're going to get back to John Gasper and Steve Castagnola to handicap the rest of the Keeneland Graded Stakes momentarily, but want to remind you that live thoroughbred racing returns to Woodbine this afternoon beginning at 1 p.m. Eastern. And new this year will be the Tapeta Racing Surface, providing a consistent and safe surface for both handicappers and horsemen. And Woodbine also plans on incorporating a few new twists on the E.P. Taylor Turf Course, with 25 races being run clockwise starting in June. The highlight of the meet is the 157th running of the Queen's Plate on Sunday, July 3rd, part of a 133-day meet running through December 4th. For more information, you can visit woodbineracetrack.com.
What a lovely racetrack Woodbine is.
Spectacular.
Oh, it's fantastic.
We can't wait to get, it'll be our first trip when we go up to broadcast the Queen's Plate.
Any excuse I could get there again, I'd go.
And as John Sisko said earlier, that is the highlight of their entire meet, is having HRN in the house.
Yes, that's lovely to hear.
They're screwed. That's all they got. They're in big trouble. All right, well, the Grade 2 Shakertown is race 8 at Keeneland today. 5.5 furlongs on the turf course. It might be a frozen turf course this afternoon, but it is indeed going to be green. We know that. A purse of $200,000, field of 12. John Gasper, kick it off.
I'm not going to go past the one horse, Power Alert. I think he's always been a lovely horse. I've liked this horse. So, I mean, he's just one of those kind of horses you just kind of like. You know, oddly enough, there's a full field in here. And there's only been one horse out of the 12, and that's Something Extra, that has won a race at Keeneland. The rest of them have never won a race at Keeneland. So That's kind of an oddity. But I'm going to go with Power Alert. I think Brian Lynch does an excellent job with not only this horse, but with all his horses, and he's always dangerous. There are a couple other horses in here that, you know, undrafted, always runs well for Wesley, and like I said, there might be a rider change there because we think John Velasquez is in New York, pretty sure of that, so there'll probably be a rider change there. But he draws outside, and that's a good spot to be. That'd be probably the only thing I didn't like about Power Alert is he's in the one hole, but I'm going to go with him.
Yeah, I wonder what he's going to think of the weather up here after winning his last two at Gulfstream Park. Hope he handles it better than Jude.
This, just a comment on John. Eight of the 12 in here have never stepped on the Keeneland turf course. So, you know, there's a lot of them trying it for the first time. But this is a cavalry charge. It's 5.5, a full field. It's one of the fun races to watch. You might be able to just throw a blanket over six of them on the wire. There's a ton of speed in here. And they can't all be on the lead. And I know sometimes that backfires in your thinking when you think there's going to be a ton of speed and someone goes and walks the dog out in the front. But I think with undrafted, he's going to get a lot of play. Is this just a prep for Royal Ascot? You know, I'd like to get inside Wesley's brain and see if he's wanting to really try today or if he's just using this as a prep to go back to Royal Ascot. I'm going to take the 3, Summation Time. He's another horse that's been locked up down at Payson Park, but I just cannot look past Christophe Clement, Javier Castellano, blinkers on, 6-1, can come from off the pace. and that's just too enticing for me to pass up. So summation time at a square price with good connections.
Pontiff, how do you see the Shaker Town?
Well, I saw it as probably an all. I don't like to be disrespectful to our guest, but Power Alert does not like a soft turf. And I don't know what the turf course is going to be like. If it may be hard and he may like it, but I would avoid
like
him.
A frozen turf.
Well, you keep frozen saying frozen, tundra. But I don't know. Is it going to be frozen?
It's going to be chilly out there. It won't be frozen, it's going to be chilly.
But I'll tell you, if you look at this horse's form, and I know this horse very, very well, and I have found out that he does not like it unless it's firm. All the races where he gets beat, the turf course was not firm. So that's all I'm saying.
All right, that's the Shaker Town. The Grade 1 Madison is race 9. It precedes the Bluegrass Stakes this afternoon. Again, all part of our coverage beginning 4 o'clock Eastern time here on the network. 7 furlongs on the main track, 300,000 fillies and mares, 4-year-olds and up. We're down to a field of 11, originally 13, but you can scratch number 1, Cavorting, and scratch number 11, 13 Arrows at this point. So right now, 11 set to go in the Madison.
A Grade 1. The Grade 1 Madison going 7/8 for the 4-year-olds or older fillies and mares. And there's old saying, Grade 1 winners win Grade 1 races. And there's plenty of Grade 1 winners in here. There's a lot of valuable fillies and mares entering the track today for the Grade 1 Vitary Madison. You know, Wavell Avenue, John would know better. He's kind of in the Chad Brown camp, how this horse is doing. You know, she won the Breeders' Cup. She's the class of the field. You know, she hasn't run since October. Bird at the Wire is interesting. She's a Grade 1 winner going 7/8 in California. She's coming off a short layoff. She has a bullet work over the Keeneland track. But I'm going to go for a California filly, Sunday Rules, and see if she might not get the lead out here and try to take him as far as she can. She's never gone 7 furlongs. A little bit of a concern. But 2 back, she was pulling away, going 6.5 furlongs. I don't see a lot of speed in the race. I see a lot of tactical speed. But she's California speed. She's 21.44. And if she can break good under Edwin Maldonado, I think that this filly could go wire to wire. And she also should be a square price. So the California shipper, number 4, Sunday Rules in the Madison.
Johnny?
Talked to Chad last night, as a matter of fact. We talked about quite a few of his horses that he has in today. Not only here, but in New York. He has 7 in New York today and several in at Tampa also. But he told me that she's doing very well. We're talking about Wavell Avenue. And, you know, it's not the end-all today, but he expects her to certainly, you know, show her stuff. And, if we get enough – his concern was, like, if you get enough pace to run into with her, that's the whole key with her. And if you can get enough pace to run into with her and – obviously, you know, not get stopped back in. She's down on the inside, and so she'll be actually, you know, with Cavorting scratching, she'll be in the, well, would be in the 2 hole, but I imagine they'll leave the 1 open. But still, she's going to have to weave her way through there and find a spot. Of course, Todd's horse, the other class of the race, I don't, you know, she hadn't run since the Breeders' Cup. Obviously, she did win the Distaff last year and is a classy filly, and wouldn't be surprised if, you know, if she doesn't come running also. But I'm going to go for a couple of horses here of Karen's that are price horses. Dancing House is a kind of an intriguing filly to me. I just think that Karen likes his horses up close as a rule, and I think she will be up close. She probably won't be on Lee, but I think she will be up close. And she ran a big race in the Barbara Fritchie. And this other filly, Close Fall Off, the one right next to her, I mean, she's got as good a numbers in the race as anybody just about. So she may not be quite as classy, but both of these horses are going to be big prices, and I'd certainly give them a chance, Dancing House and Close Fall Off.
Yeah, I agree with John. I think Dancing House has a really bang-up chance, and the other filly, too. She's very competitive. You know, Todd's hoping Stop Charging Maria finishes in the money. David Fox has been vacillating about running in this race for like the last week or 10 days. So I never like that when a trainer's not sure whether he should run a horse in a race or not. She's obviously still in, so I guess they're going to run her. But I mean, you had to like have culture shock when you looked at that overnight.
yeah.
As John pointed out during the break, the bluegrass purse is $1 million. This purse is $300,000. They should have swapped them.
So, yeah, it's the best race Keenan will have the whole meet, probably.
Yeah. I mean, when we have time to count up how many grade one winners are in the race, and it might not be one that wins it, but yeah, a lot of valuable commodity out there.
I was looking, trying to figure out where Clothes Fall Off got her name from. She's out of a Dejure mare by the name of Tequila's Dejure.
You're along the right track, I think.
Right? Yeah, I would think so. Pretty clever from that respect.
And the sire's by Awesome Again, so. It must be a good sight, not a scary one.
I could really tell you some stories about that pedigree, but I don't have enough time. That mare was given to one of the Sally Van drivers, given to him, because it's by J.R. Smith. The
no
dam
kidding.
Of that mare, yeah. And,
wow.
And he has a very good rapport with Shadwell, so they've been breeding that mare, and actually I think the mare is dead now, but they have a sister or something to her. So that's how they end up with that. I mean, it's a real story. Believe me, I'm telling you.
Wow, that's cool. We'll wish her and all the contenders in the Madison all the best later today. The grade one, $1 million Toyota Bluegrass, the major Kentucky Derby prep of the entire meet, mile and an eighth on the main track. 14 horses plus two also eligibles were entered, but the two AEs are definitely scratched. You can take out number 15, Pinson, and number 16, Hint of Roses. So we're 14 horses, full field. Stevie C, what do you think?
Well, it's you put me in a tough spot because myself, along with the assistance of Barry Berkohammer and Lisa McGreevy, selected and purchased for the Albaugh family stable of Jason Luch and Dennis Albaugh, Brody's Call. So we're very happy to have Louis Sayers riding him today. We wanted to draw between the 5 and the 7, so we split that and got the 6. Everybody knows, everybody's been saying how good he's training. Yes, he was training well going into Tampa, and we went down there, and our egos were bruised, and we knew we were going to drop off Steve Haskins' Derby Dozen, and you know, but you know, like I said, there's going to be more races to lose, so you know, we picked ourselves back up. The horse is doing fantastic. Everything you read is true. He's earned $500,000 on the racetrack. He won the Grade One Futurity here last year. He was third in the Breeders' Cup behind Nyquist. He was run out of real estate, basically. He was coming, and he just ran out of real estate in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. And the horse didn't like Tampa Bay Downs. I mean, it's that simple. I mean, it was a sandy, deep racetrack that he didn't care for. And if Louis Sayers can work out a trip, and if we are fortunate enough to be in the clear turning for home, I think he's going to be very, very hard to beat, and we're just hoping for a fun afternoon, regardless, and getting a good trip with Brody's course. So, good luck to my team for the 6 Brody's course.
Well done, good luck, my friend. Brody's cause a Grade One winner. We'll see if he can add another one to his resume and take that next step toward Churchill Downs this afternoon. John Gasper.
Well, first of all, this is that the Madison and also this in the filly race up there in New York, and the Wood is part of the Bluegrass Big Apple Pick Four.
Yep.
Which is something that I said to Mr. Bassett several years ago. Why don't we? They always run on the same day. Why don't we kind of, you know, combine this stuff? So finally they did, and that'll be a good bet for a lot of people there. I mean, it's a, you know, you can, and I think as far as like. This race is concerned, the Bluegrass, I think it's a wide open race. I mean, there's horses that, you know, are just like the one horse. He's just coming off a couple of races that, you know, doesn't have quite the experience, but certainly, you know, you never know what they're going to do if their horses improve. Zulu's only run 3 times, taking the blinkers off of him. And so Todd's probably thinking, you know, something there. I don't know exactly what. I haven't talked to him. But Chad called me last night. He was talking about, he said, can my horse win from the 14 hole? I said, well, yeah, why not? I mean, it's, you know, if he doesn't get hung up 8 wide in the first turn, you know, he can certainly win. He's got the best numbers in the race by far. You know, whether he's and I guess if
wasn't Nyquist in the 14 in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile?
Yeah, that's right. I told him, right? I said, you know, you never, I mean, this is all how it's going to set up. I mean, how do you know? You know, you don't know, and that's, you know, you just break and you look and see where you can find a spot, and he thinks he's a pretty good horse, this horse. So, you know, he's going to be a decent price, obviously. He's way out there, and, you know, he hasn't really done that much, but he's not done a whole lot wrong either. So, you know, you got to give him a chance, I guess, in there. And, you know, another horse that was a little bit intriguing to me was Zapparini. Zapparini's a ghost zapper colt of Greg Foley's, and he's only run three times. And for whatever reason, he got shuffled way, way back in the Risen Star, and he kind of came running a little bit and, you know, did just kind of ran okay, but he hasn't run since that time. I'm kind of interested in that horse just to see how he performs. I don't know, you know, maybe this is not the right spot for him, but he looks like he could be a nice horse somewhere down the road. So basically, I think anybody that takes less than 3-1 on any of these horses, I think it's not a good value rate of play. But if you can connect in there somewhere with these other horses in the pick four, this stakes pick four, I think it's a good bet. Like I say, I'll go with the long shot on the outside, my man Sam.
JT?
Yeah, I think the horses everybody mentioned are the live ones. Nobody mentioned Cherry Wine, and I think Cherry Wine ran great last time. I'm expecting a big run from him today. He's a very nice horse, and he's been training evidently just out of his gourd. So that's my top pick.
By the way, that horse that beat him down there, and I was down there at Oakland the day, that horse Cupid, he's a nice horse. That horse is coming around the right time. I mean, he ain't got a clue what he's doing yet. I mean, that could be Baffert's big one right there.
Trainer Todd Pletcher is tied with Ben Jones, Woody Stevens, Leroy Jolly, and Nick Zito for most wins in the Bluegrass Stakes. If he could win with one of his three entrants this afternoon, he, of course, would stand alone among those trainers with four victories in the Bluegrass. So best of luck to Todd and to all the contenders in today's Bluegrass Stakes. It's part of our coverage, 4 o'clock Eastern Time here on the network, SiriusXM 83, of course, on our affiliate in Louisville, Kentucky, and streaming worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. Post time for the Bluegrass, 6 o'clock Eastern. We'll get to another break. We'll come back and take a quick look at the Wood Memorial and the Santa Anita Derby. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the 2016 Kentucky Derby and the Triple Crown.
Power to honor and serve is the real deal here.
Passion
to honor and serve is the winner of the Cigar Mile.
Performance
to honor and serve would not let Mucho Macho Man buy.
Gainesway Stallion to honor and serve. Bernardini's Grade 1 Millionaire and Top 10 Yearling Sire with his first crop in 2015. To honor and serve yearlings included $450,000 and $220,000 colts at Phasic Tipton Saratoga and the session-topping $300,000 filly at the Phasic Tipton New York Bred Sale in August. Keeneland September yearlings by To Honor and Serve were topped by $250,000, $195,000, and $160,000 colts and a $150,000 filly. To Honor and Serve is Bernardini's only multiple graded stakes winner at 2, 3, and 4, defeating Breeders' Cup Classic winner Mucho Macho Man three times in four meetings, all in graded stakes. To Honor and Serve, standing at Gainesway.
And they're off to New York. The premier stake bred program in the United States. When you own a New York bred, your horse can run for more than $44 million in purses restricted to registered New York breds. And the New York program pays awards to breeders, owners, and stallion owners when their New York breds finish first, second, or third at New York tracks. We have the quality.
Day at the spa, all the way.
You have the opportunity. New York breds, get with the program. The best program.
Claiborne Farm is proud to offer the regally bred Orb. The son of Malibu Moon compiled a five-race winning streak that included the Fountain of Youth and Florida Derby. In the Kentucky Derby, he defeated rivals Will Take Charge, Oxbow Golden Sense, and Palace Malice. Now the millionaire racehorse is garnering big checks for breeders as the leading first crop covering sire and leading first crop weanling sire of his class. Now is the time to book your mare to Orb at Claiborne Farm.
It's Derby Day, L.A. The 79th running of the $1 million Santa Anita Derby is today at Spectacular Santa Anita. Come early. Admission gates open at 10 a.m. and first race post time is at 12 noon. In addition to the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby, which has produced 17 winners of the Kentucky Derby, we've got five other stakes on tap, including the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks, which will showcase the brilliant, undefeated Eclipse champion filly, Songbird. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Here comes Shagoff with a final surge, to win the Gotham.
Shagoff remained undefeated with that determined win in the Grade 3 Gotham back on March 5th. The son of Darley stallion Bernardini looks to take the next step on the road to Louisville in this afternoon's Grade 1 Wood Memorial. And Shagoff's Gotham victory makes him your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley stallion Bernardini, coming off a tremendous year in 2015, siring four Grade 1 winners, second only to Tappet. And only Tappet has more graded stakes winners this year than Bernardini. Represented by six horses in Grade 1 events this Saturday, including Wood Memorial favorite Shagoff and Bluegrass Stakes favorite Zulu. Learn more about Bernardini and all the Darley stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, this is Larry Colmus, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Exaggerator has made a bold move. He's all the way up to take second now in between horses, coming after Dancing Candy. Just behind them comes More Spirit with five to make up. Then I Will Score and Smoky Image. Dancing Candy turns for home. And he's trying to fend off Exaggerator, who's two lengths behind second. More Spirit is fully extended. Dancing Candy's the real deal. He's in front by two lengths, coming to the 16th pole. And he takes a major step forward this afternoon. Dancing Candy, wire to wire in the San Felipe Stakes. And there's plenty left in the tank. More Spirit closed well for second, Exaggerator third, Uncle Lino was fourth.
Baron and Pontiff back with you on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Frank Miramati had the call of the San Felipe, and Dancing Candy getting the victory that afternoon. He's back in action later today in the Grade 1 $1 million Santa Anita Derby, a race you will hear with us beginning 4 o'clock Eastern Time. If you did miss our interview with Mike Smith in the first half of the program, he, of course, will be aboard Dancing Candy and Songbird today. Go back to our website, check out the podcast of this program at horseracingradio.net. We're going to get back to John Gasper, Steve Castagnola momentarily to look at the Wood Memorial and the Santa Anita Derby, but want to remind you that you can play the Twin Spires HRRN Betback every time that we're on the air with one of our race broadcasts again this year. Here's how it works. Today's Betback is on the Santa Anita Derby. What you're going to do, you go to twinspires.com/HRRN, and you can do it right now, twinspires.com/HRRN. You're going to make a $14 total bet on one horse in today's Santa Anita Derby. That's a $7 win bet and a $7 show bet. If your horse finishes worse than third, you're going to lose your $14. But guess what? It doesn't matter, because twinspires.com will refund your entire $14 wager. It's a no-risk $14 bet on today's Santa Anita Derby. Go there now, twinspires.com/HRRN, and play the Twin Spires HRRN bet back. All right, guys, let's start with the Wood Memorial at Aqueduct. Another quality field set to go. Stevie, what do you think?
Well, the outwork for Todd Pletcher and Mike Rapoli, the son of Uncle Mo, who we believe John Velasquez is riding, when we ran in the Tampa Bay Derby, this was the horse I was most concerned about. Turned out we needed to be a lot more concerned about just him. But I don't see any reason why this horse won't make another step forward. So I'm going to stick with Outwork. I think he's an improving, lightly raced horse. But I got to give a shout out to the Euro boys up from Naples National, because they've been trying to push me on Adventist. So Davey and Tommy and Teddy, I'm giving you a shout out. Adventist is the Euro's pick.
All right. Johnny Gasper, what do you think?
Well, it looks like, you know, of course, I hope Shadwell has a better day than they had last Saturday. And, you know, they're obviously disappointed with Mohemian. But Shagoff, I guess it was the way you pronounce it, he's undefeated, another undefeated colt that they have. And, you know, certainly hasn't done anything wrong. His last race was kind of a grinder race. He kind of ground it out, you know, and people weren't really impressed with it. But, you know, when they win and they don't run their best race, I think that's a good sign. And to me, I got to go with him till somebody beats him, yeah. Right, in this field anyway, because I don't think there's any standouts in here. The one horse that's kind of a now horse is Matt King Cole, the horse of Linda Rice's. That horse is getting a lot of attention and has come on and run some really good speed figures his last two races. So obviously it's a step up in class. It's going to be a big test for him today.
Well, I'll give you one other angle with that horse, Matt King Cole. The Wood Memorial goes before the Bluegrass Stakes today. Okay, the Wood's at 5:30, the Bluegrass is at 6. You talked about Chad Brown's horse in the Bluegrass, my man Sam, who was beaten by Matt King Cole last time out in that allowance race you just alluded to. So right. If Matt King Cole were to jump up and run huge in the Wood, maybe an upgrade is necessary for my man Sam in the Bluegrass.
Yeah, this horse, like I say, he's getting a lot of attention from reading articles and stuff from a lot of different handicappers. So it'll be interesting to see. I think it'll be a good race. It's 8 horses. It's a fair race, you know. So we'll see.
Pontiff?
Well, you know, Johnny V picked Outwork over Destin last time out. That was very intriguing to me. I still haven't figured that out. But he must really like this horse.
The horse ran great.
Now he's leaving Keeneland to go up there and ride this horse today. So he must really like this horse. And I know Todd's been very effusive in his praise for the way this horse has been working. So Outwork is definitely my top pick. Linda Rice, I heard an interview with her about Matt King Cole somewhere along the line, and she was very thoughtful in the way that she's prepared this horse. She really thinks this is a legitimate Derby horse, and I think I got to go with her opinion. She's a very smart trainer, and so that would be my second choice. But it's an interesting race. I think Shagaff's got a chance, flexibility even, although his numbers seem to be diminishing a little bit, and he hasn't been out since January, so he may need one. But, I think it's going to be a pretty chalky race all in all.
All right, the Wood race 10 at Aqueduct again, 5:30 Eastern time is the post. Let's head out to Santa Anita, the Santa Anita Derby, $1 million, grade one. 100 Derby points on the line for the winner. Johnny, what do you think?
This is almost a little bit like the Ashland here, except it's a bigger field. But I think there's only really 3 horses that have a chance, and I've actually got it down to the 2, and they're both, you know, one's 8-5, one's 9-5. But I'm going to go with Baffert's horse, More Spirit, only because he's off the pace, and I know it's going to be muddy out there, but that's his style, and there is enough speed in here. It looks like, especially when these racetracks get muddy, these jocks get, everybody's going to wants to be first going into that turn. I mean, it might set up for him if the track is not so speed favoring where these horses are going to the front and winning, you know, all day long. If it's fair, I'd like to have More Spirit. So that's who I'm going to go with today over Dancing County, who's a very, very nice horse.
And just a side note, dressed in Hermes, scratch from that Santa Anita Derby later today.
I see it exactly the way John sees it. Dancing Candy is a very, very nice horse. Both the top two horses are bred to love the mud. Dancing Candy, a twirling candy out of a Song and a Prayer mare, and More Spirit and Escandrea out of a Dixie Union mare. So really, they're both bred to relish the mud, should it come up muddy. But I agree. I think More Spirit's race last time was just the progression that Bob wanted to see in the horse. And he's tightened the screws a little bit now. You can see the bullet work, 2 back, a little half-mile blowout, was second fastest of 58 and 47 flat. So it looks to me like the screws have been tightened. And I expect More Spirit to come out on top in the Santa Anita Derby today.
Pontiff?
Well, I think the two horses that the guys have mentioned are very, very tough. But I would not ignore Exaggerator, who moves way up in the mud. If the track is muddy, I think he's got a chance. More Spirit actually has a second place finish in the slop, so he's actually more proven. I like More Spirit best, but I'll tell you, Exaggerator, if the track's off, wouldn't shock me if he didn't run super today.
Well, and keep in mind, no trainer has won more Santa Anita Derbies than Hall of Famer Bob Baffert. No shock there. He's won it 7 times, including last year with Dortmund. He'll look to add to that total later today. And one other note, best of luck to our friend and colleague Jeff Bloom with Bloom Racing Stable, who sends out Longshot Diplodocus in today's Santa Anita Derby. And I had to ask him yesterday what the name meant, and he said, "I can't believe you don't know that. It's the dinosaur with the longest neck."
Yeah,
I had no idea.
Honestly, I grew up, I've had this conversation before, but in England, it's pronounced Diplodocus, which, but I guess, potato, potato type of thing.
Yeah.
He doesn't want the
grass.
Gross. I'm sure Mr. Bloom doesn't care what they call him as long as they call him in front.
With that long neck of his, for sure. And by the way, Jeff has in his Bloom Racing has four horses racing today, so they're really on a roll, doing a great job there. Guys, we appreciate all the time, and we're back together next week. I had a tweet to our HRN account. Somebody asked where Michael was, so Michael Hernan going to be back with us next week, and look forward to getting him in the mix with us, too.
Absolutely. We missed Michael this morning, but it's great to be here. We're another one in the books, as they say.
Johnny, thanks, my friend.
Okay, good seeing you, and hopefully everybody has a good day today.
Who wins the Masters?
Oh, man, I'm still pulling for my man Jordan. I love him. I think he's great. But, you know, there's so many young, good guys out there. Good night.
Yeah.
You know? But it's going to be good. It'll be good today.
All right, we're going to get to another break. JT and I will come back and wrap up this edition of the Equine Forum right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwiches, Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way.
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What'll we do?
Leave it to me, sir.
Hello,
boss. Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's. Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Grade 1 millionaire Cowboy Cow is leading the third crop sire by two-year-old winners with a dozen juvenile winners already this year. His runners have earned nearly $2 million, and his sires a greater percentage of winners than nearly any other stallion in his crop, including Pioneer of the Nile. Cowboy Cow, a grand-looking son of Giant's Causeway, standing at Pen Oak Stud.
Kirkwood Stables has a long and storied history of producing and selling winners at the highest level.
Alphabet Soup has scored a shocking upset.
And Memories of Silver draws clear.
Soaring softly, the queen of the American green.
Flying pretty holds on to the oaks.
It is Winter Memories, victorious again.
Visit this year's Kirkwood consignments at the upcoming OBS March and April sales. Kirkwood Stables, proven success. Learn more at kirkwoodstables.com.
Join us at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races on Saturday, April 23rd for a great day of racing, including 13 races highlighted by the $1.25 million Grade 2 Charlestown Classic. The night also features six other stakes races and a $100,000 guaranteed all-stakes pick four. Post time is 12:45 Eastern with the Charlestown Classic scheduled for 6:05. If you're interested in seeing some of the best horses in the world battle it out, mark your calendars for Saturday, April 23rd and the $1.25 million Charlestown Classic at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
This is Christophe Clément. You are listening to the Horse Racing Video Network.
Twenty-eight days, 8 hours, 36 minutes, and 42 seconds away from the 142nd run for the Roses. We will be there as your official radio home for the Kentucky Derby and this year's Triple Crown again here in 2016. Our coverage of all three races coming your way in partnership with our friends at NBC Sports and Westwood One. Looking forward to all three of those Triple Crown events. And, of course, looking forward to more than 17 hours of Derby Week coverage here on the network. It begins the Tuesday before with our Derby Countdown shows presented by your Lexington area Jimmy Johns. You'll hear those Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. And then, of course, our coverage of the Kentucky Oaks presented by TwinSpires.com. We have our coverage of the post position draw on Wednesday night. TwinSpires.com, also the sponsor there. All of our undercard coverage on Derby Day. Boy, it's going to be a spectacular week. You can go to our website right now and see a complete Derby Week schedule.
I have to rest my voice.
Haven't rested our voices all winter, my friend.
I know.
This is week number 10. People are like, really? You're complaining about being on the air for 10 weeks? Yeah, talking about horse racing?
I tell you,
and we are not complaining.
We're not complaining, but it's a lot sometimes, Derby Week, because we're talking a lot. Bring your hemorrhoid cushion.
Well, it's going to be fun. Again, that entire schedule on our website. Don't forget, this afternoon, 4 o'clock Eastern, you can hear coverage of the Bluegrass, the Wood, the Santa Anita Derby, and a few other of those graded stakes from Keeneland as well, including the Madison. 4 o'clock Eastern, Sirius XM 83. That's a new channel, 83 for this afternoon, on our affiliate in Louisville, Kentucky, ESPN 680, and streaming worldwide, horseracingradio.net. Another fun show, my friend.
Yeah, it was great. Nice to see the boys. Haven't seen them in a while.
Our thanks to all of our guests and all of those who took the time to do interviews with us this week. Our friend Jenny Reese for helping out. Dale Romans with his interview. John Siscos from Woodbine. Hall of Famer Mike Smith. And, of course, John Gasper and Steve Castagnola. Don't forget, you missed any portion, go to our website, horseracingradio.net. The podcast will be available for you to listen at your leisure. For our producer, Lee Delapina. For Sean C. Chauncey on our social media. For Jude Feld, I'm Mike Pena. Hey, go Steelers.
Go Barbados. Good night, Barbados.